question algorithm.
Okay.
Canto 1, chapter 15. निशम्य भगवान् मार्गं संस्थां यदुकुलस्य च सहपताय मतिं चक्रे निभृतात्मा युधिष्ठिरः निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं संस्थां यदुकुलस्य च स्वपथाय मतिं चक्रे निभृतात्मा युधिष्ठिरः निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं संस्थां यदुकुलस्य च स्वपथाय मतिं चक्रे निभृतात्मा युधिष्ठिरः निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं संस्थां यदुकुलस्य च स्वपताय मतिं चक्रे निभृतात्मा युधिष्ठिरः निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं संस्थां यदुकुलस्य च स्वपथाय मतिं चक्रे निभृतात्मा युधिष्ठिरः
निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं
निशम्य भगवन् मार्गं
स्वपदाय मतिं चक्रे
Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
But what word? Nishamya.
Nishamya.
Deliberating.
Deliberating.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Regarding the Lord.
Regarding the Lord.
Margam.
Margam.
The ways of His appearance and disappearance.
The ways of His appearance and disappearance.
Samstham.
Samstham.
End.
End.
Yadukulasya.
Yadukulasya.
Of the dynasty of King Yadu.
Of the dynasty of King Yadu.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Svaha.
Svaha.
The abode of the Lord.
The abode of the Lord.
Pataya.
Pataya.
On the way of.
On the way of.
Matim.
Matim.
Desire.
Desire.
Chakre.
Chakre.
Gave attention.
Gave attention.
Nipritatma.
Nipritatma.
Lonely and alone.
Yudhishthira.
King Yudhishthira. Translation. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode, and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. Please repeat. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode,
of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode,
and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation,
Maharaj Yudhishthira
decided to go back home,
back to Godhead.
Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira also turned his attention to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita after hearing about the Lord's departure from the vision of earthly people. He began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure. The mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on His supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy, as the living beings appear and disappear, being forced by the laws of nature. Whenever the Lord likes, He can appear Himself from anywhere and everywhere without disturbing His appearance and disappearance in any other place. He is like the sun. The sun appears and disappears on its own accord at any place without disturbing its presence in other places. The sun appears in the morning in India without disappearing from the western hemisphere. The sun is present everywhere and anywhere all over the solar system, but it so appears that in a particular place the sun appears in the morning and also disappears at some fixed time in the evening. The time limitation even of the sun is of no concern. And so what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is creator and controller of the sun? Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, I just stated that anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord by His inconceivable energy becomes liberated from the laws of birth and death and is placed in the eternal spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets are. There, such liberated persons can eternally live without the pangs of birth, death, old age and disease. In the spiritual sky, the Lord and those who are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are all eternally young, because there is no old age and disease and there is no death. Because there is no death, there is no birth. It is concluded, therefore, that simply by understanding the Lord's appearance and disappearance in truth, one can attain the perfectional stage of eternal life. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira also began to consider going back to Godhead. The Lord appears on the earth or any other mortal planet along with His associates who live with Him eternally and the members of the Yadu family who are engaged in supplementing the pastimes of the Lord are no other than His eternal associates. And so also Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers and mother, etc. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord and His eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the external features of appearance and disappearance. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakriya Chakshurim Nidhanyena Tatmahi Shri Gurave Namah முகம் கரோதி வாஜாலம் பங்கும் லங்கய தேகிரீம் யத்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதாரிணம் பரமானந்த மாதவம் ஸ்ரீ சைதன்யமீஸ்வரம் நமாவோம் விஷ்ணு பாதாய கிருஷ்ண பிருஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே ஜயபதாக சுவாமினி தினாமினே நமோ ஆச்சாரிய பாதாய நிதாய கிருபப்ரதாயினே கௌரகததாமதாய நகர கிராமதாரிணே நமாவோம் விஷ்ணு பாதாய கிருஷ்ண பிருஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினி தினாமினே நாமத்தே சாரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரசாரிணே ிபாதிபாசிதாரிணே ஜய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணா சைதன்யா பிரபோதித்யானந்தா ஸ்ரீஅத்வைதாதர ஸ்ரீராதாதி கௌரபட்சவிருந்தா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ணா
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா
ஐம் சாரி ஃபார் பீயிங் எ லிட்டில் லேட் So, happy to be here after some time in the association of good old friends, devotees, and eager spiritual members, donors, and other followers of Srila Prabhupada's movement who are doing great by serving. This evening, and this morning, we have this specific shloka about the disappearance of the Lord in a chapter called Pandavas Retire Timely. Let me read the translation again. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of the Yadu Dynasty, earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. So, we talk about retirement. This is Pandava's retirement. Pandava's retiring timely, on the dot. In the material world also we have retirement from jobs and other things, which definitely does not go on timely. Especially for the politicians, unless they kick on the butt, they don't move from their positions. Or they should be assassinated. Mostly people don't like to leave their seats and their positions. They are very attached. And they are afraid that if they have to retire, they have nothing better to do. And they will be at a loss of a job. No engagement, and therefore many times they stick on at the expense of many youngsters who may not be able to get that position, may not be able to do something dynamic. So normally people who are sensible, they retire and they don't feel that they don't have a job, they actually feel they have a better job to do. They can become God conscious, they can become Krishna conscious. They can indulge in reading the Bhagavatam, they can indulge in chanting Hare Krishna, they can worship Krishna, they can do some seva full time for Krishna. So they are happy about retiring. It's like Yudhishthira Maharaj has got a wonderful empire and he's got such a great position. But he is going to retire. Because for him, it is simply a service to the Lord, and since the Lord has wound up his manifest pastimes, I will also do so after responsibly handing over. This is retirement. Retirement means not irresponsibility. I don't know, it's time for me to retire. You guys do anything you want with whatever, spoil it the way you want. No, but he handed over properly. Handed over to Parikshit. Made sure everything was fine and gave down a legacy that was possible to be maintained by Parikshit, who was himself a great devotee. So we should follow this path too as a first lesson, that we should prepare for retirement while we are engaged with this world. And in the Vedic Varnashrama living, retirement is called sannyas. Give up everything and only do Krishna conscious activity. And in Kali Yuga, maybe that's not possible for everybody. But we can retire from our regular Naimitika karma, regular activities, and focus. Tivreda bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. We may not be always happy about the fact that we are not getting enough time to practice focused devotional service. So we take that opportunity, set aside the time and focus and practice devotional service. That should be part of the life plan of every devotee, what Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing there. We make a plan, we should actually plan when we would retire and then we would just focus completely on serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna and prepare to go back to Godhead. All this should be a part of the plan of one's life. And it will be a part of the plan of one's life if one is actually taking the meaning of going back to Godhead seriously and not some fictitious affair. If you really believe that there is a planet, Goloka, a spiritual world wherein Krishna has invited us to come, yat katpana nivattante tad dhama paramam mama parastasmat bhavo anyo vyakto avyaktat sanatanah yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsuna vinashyati. He is explaining that there is such a world and you belong to that place and you need to come there because that is your constitutional position and you will be peacefully at home in that place. That's why it's called back to home, back to Godhead, which means this is not your home. This is actually the workplace within which you have got another workplace, complicating affairs. So you all, this is your workplace. That's why it's called Karma Bhumi. Go there, work, so that you can get back here. That's the idea, that there is a place. And we should all believe in it. See, in the earlier days, when Prabhupada was preaching, and he had his disciples following him on the morning walk, if I remember right, it was the walk in which he was reported to by some of those disciples earlier. They're not very, just coming into formation. And they told Prabhupada, yesterday we went to hear one Swamiji's lecture. So this was not like so strict and all. It was just the beginning. So Prabhupada said, what is he saying? As he was walking, yes, what is he saying? So there was a little silence. Then he said, he spoke about the spiritual world. He spoke about world outside of this world and all that. They gave some little technical details. And he said, so what do you think, Prabhupada? You know, he's got his own genius in preaching. So what do you think? As he was walking. So after a little time, the devotee said, not very convincing. So Prabhupada immediately retorted, that's because he does not believe in the spiritual world. Hearing from a person who has not so much faith in the existence of the spiritual world. So you will not be able to believe that. So Krishna is saying that, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that, Prabhupada has said that I'll take you back to Godhead. And Prabhupada's whole movement, like we were discussing yesterday, is meant for this purpose. It's no easy job. It's not a small movement with a small specific objective of shifting you from here to America, or giving you a job in America, or taking you from here to there, or giving you a product, or giving you a salary, or giving you a promotion, or making your material life better. It's a lofty mission, and not some phantasmagoria. It is actually true that Prabhupada wants to take everybody, the whole world, back to Godhead. This is his mission. And he believed it. He walked it. He talked it. He spoke it. He acted it all the time. And everybody who got in touch with him said, I think this man will take you back to Godhead. He really believes in it. He's absorbed in it. He's soaked in it. He's oozing it all the time. Krishna, spiritual world, go back to Godhead. He types his magazine, back to Godhead. He keeps on speaking everywhere, the spiritual world, go back to Godhead. You don't belong here. And that's the seriousness of it. We mean it in the Hare Krishna movement. We mean it. And ours is a movement that sends people back to Godhead actually. Not in theory, not just philosophy. We see so many of our devotees leaving their bodies, chanting Hare Krishna, surrounded by devotees in Holy Dham, in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, in all these places. They go back to Godhead. As for what Krishna is saying, Antakale Chamameva Smaran Mukdva Kalevaram. Krishna is saying, Antakale, if you think of me, you go back to Godhead. And this is Prabhupada's mission. There is no mission in this whole world like that. It's a lofty mission. And if you follow the order of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you will also go back to Godhead. This is his guarantee. So we have to believe in it. We have to know that this is true because Krishna has said it. And here Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, it's getting ready to go back to Godhead. And he's saying Krishna already went back. He came, performed his pastimes, went back. We came along with him to do the needful service, going back. Everybody is in going back mode, devotees. They are not in staying mode. And we keep hearing people saying, my daughter, you know, has to get settled. My son, you know, is getting settled. There's no settlement in the world. It's always unsettled. There's no peace. You can never remain settled here. That's the whole design. The design is, go back to God. Don't wait here. You wait here, you'll have needles, thorns under your feet. You'll always have some difficulties. It's designed to give you pain. It is dukkha alaya mashashvatam. It is a dukkha alaya. Just imagine, you know, you build a house and you title it dukkha alayam. Graha pravesham, can I give invitation? Graha pravesha, I invite you. Graha pravesha, what's the name of yours? Dukkha alaya. Nobody will come here. Why? Even for the graha pravesha, they will not come here. But Krishna has already titled the whole world dukkha alaya. And inside that you want to make your Sukh Sagar and Sukhalaya. No way. Get out from here. Unless and until you understand that this is not the place for you to stay. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajaswamam. At least now you fool. Anitya asukham lokam imam prapya. You got a world, anitya, that is temporary. Asukham, full of dukkham. Imam prapya, you have achieved it, great achievement. Imam prapya, now at least, bhajaswamam, worship me, I'll take you back. But somehow the other, the living entity, he is having a tendency to settle himself up in this temporary place and doesn't want to believe in the spiritual world. It's difficult for us to believe. Because we have our movings, we have our settlement, we have our connections. And then even if you speak about the spiritual world, we look at it in terms of our material experience. And we spoil it. We spoil it. We look at God in terms of human beings. And we spoil that. We look at everything like that. We look at Vaishnavas like that. We look at any objective like that. You see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spoke about this. attitude of the conditioned soul in explaining a small story which we were recollecting yesterday about a lake that's drying up and there are storks. You know, birds with long legs. They stand in the waters and still they stand and let the fishes come and move around their legs and with fantastic, what do you call, sharp shooting ability, they pick up the fish with their long beaks and they swallow it up and wait again and again. The fishes come around, unsuspecting. You know, they stand on one leg sometimes. This is the fishes won't know. Stand on one leg and then hold one with their leg and another one with the beak. Catch both of them. Very expert. So this drying lake is the feast for the storks. Because when the lake is drying up, all the crabs and all the fishes and all the little, you know, water creatures are all struggling. There's no water and they are dying. At that time, these storks were going and having a feast. Plucking, pecking and wow, filling up a belly. You know, filling up the whole belly. That time, while they were busy with the little water in the lake, all of a sudden they saw that a beautiful, fantastic looking white swan glided down, landed very nicely, and just touched the surface of the lake and landed, drunk a little water very sophisticatedly. Hamsa, swan. And these two storks looked at each other immediately and said, you know, they were looking at each other because the swan was looking very beautiful. And the storks immediately felt that one of our kind, bird, white bird. And they felt that they should get introduced. Somebody walks in into your town, into your neighborhood, into the temple, who looks different from what you know, then you want to go and familiarize yourself with him. Hello, who are you? Where are you from? When did you join the movement? When did you chant Hare Krishna? Blah, blah, etc. So these two storks, you know, just left aside their sport of, you know, picking up crabs and fishes for some time and walked up with their long legs, long slender legs, walked up to the swan and looked into, peeked into the swan. And the swan smiled and said hello. Didn't say Hari Bol, I think. Said hello. And this stork immediately said, where are you from? Immediately. Let's get to the business. Where are you from? Because one thing is we have to share the lake with you in case you're planning to stay here. Anxiety. Where are you from? And then the swan smiled and said, I'm from Manasarovar. From the Himalayas. Manasarovar, what's that? The storks looked at each other and the swan described the Manasarovar. It's a beautiful lake. It is, you know, transparent. You can see the bottom floor full of jewels, emeralds. And there is a beautiful vast breeze blowing through. And there are flower trees hugging the whole lake, overseeing the lake. And there are heavenly maidens coming from Swargaloka and taking bath and sporting in it. And there are swans, there are all sorts of birds, and there is beautiful sounds, and there is, you know, fragrance, and so many nice things are described with the lake. And the stork looked at their lake, they looked at each other, and they doubtfully looked at the swan. And he said, you're coming from that lake? Sort of, I mean, really? Then the swan from Manasarovar, he said, yes, you can come there if you want. Then they looked at each other and then asked some more questions about the lake. You know, this, like that, the swan explained. They came to a point where they got a lot of good information about the lake. You know, fit enough for any person to think, when can I go there? But they didn't want to make that decision yet. It's too good to be true. And they immediately looked at each other and saw, let's ask him the final punch question. So they asked, are there crabs there? And the swan just smiled and flew off. Because, you know, how can you explain beyond a point? Then the storks looked at each other, saying there are no crabs there. Let's get back to our job. This way, the conditioned living entity cannot understand how the spiritual world is manifest and how the Lord is giving you an invitation to come. We are always limited by our own material experiences. The conditioned soul cannot understand what Krishna means by saying, come back. Yat katvana nivartante tathava paramava. That is my real home. This is not my home. Even though he gets tortured here, whether more submarine age, even he gets into lots of different types of difficulties, he is determined to make a good life here. And Krishna is determined to see that you don't settle here, because you belong to him back there. So these are incompatible attitudes. It's better to work on the plan of the Lord. So accepting what Krishna has said, you can see in the Bhagavatam, gradually all the Pandavas, they know that. It's a very beautiful chapter towards the end where the Pandavas are retiring, right? They actually go back. They know Krishna has gone back. Arjuna is reporting here that Krishna has definitely gone back, because I was overcome by some cowherd men and they couldn't protect the women. And my Gandiva bow doesn't twang like that anymore, doesn't shoot like that anymore. And you know, it was all because of the presence of Krishna. And there's no fun remaining here anymore. We have to go back. They already know. In fact, in other words, it's better to retire. It's better to retire. Pandavas retire timely means it's not they went back to their palace, they ate good food and slept every day. Pandavas retire timely, they went back to God. That's the type of retirement they did. And for all of us also, retirement should be going back to Godhead, not sitting down and playing around with, you know, your kids, your grandkids and all those things like, you know. I show normally a little clip about a Vedic story when I do some Bhagavad Gita courses. In that time, it's a little funny, it's a parody on creation. And then they show God as sitting as a chief judge on the top of this thing with a wooden hammer. Knock, knock. And he's got a big beard and everything. And then it's showing that God first created the dog. And on the witness stand there is a dog like that. It's a little caricature of a dog. Standing like that, acting very great, you know, feeling very great about his whole body. Dog, and God is creating dog and telling him, I create you. You are dog. You will remain very faithful to mankind, and you will always eat what he throws to you, and you will eat that and feed on that and then be faithful to him, and you will live, you know, 30 years. And immediately the dog responds, please don't give me 30 years, no, 15 years, you know. And God surprised, and he said, okay, 15 years. And then God created monkey. And then the monkey, you know, you will swing from branch to branch. You will remain naked always. You will be very mischievous. And you will go from one place to the other. And you will live 20 years. And the monkey says, relax. That's 120 years, like that. 10 years is enough. Something like that. I said, okay, 10 years, yeah. Then God created donkey. And it went down like that. And then donkey like this. And the donkey also says, don't stay for so long. I mean, give me half of it, enough. Then God created man, the grand finale. He created man, and then man came into force, and then God told him, you are the best of all the creations, you are the, you know, the supermost of all living entities, and then you will live for 20 years, and the man immediately said, 20 years, sir. Why didn't he give me the 10 that the dog rejected, and the 15 the monkey rejected, and the other the dog rejected, I want to live for more. And God said, oh my gosh, it's a parody. And he said, okay, I grant you all that. And since then it's mentioned, it says that, since then man has been living 10 years as a donkey, and 15 years as a monkey, and 20 years as a dog. And he gives information that when he lives as a dog, he goes from, you know, he doesn't work anymore, and so whatever his son throws at him, he eats. And then since he's a monkey for 15 years, he goes from one grandson's house to the next grandson's house, the next grandson's house, and whatever they give, he eats, like a monkey swings from one house to the other. Like that, a comparison. And when we get retired, we think we'll do all these things. So many nice things to do. We can go from one grandson's house to the other. We can go from one daughter's house to the other. And then we can travel with them. We can look after them. We look after the baby, wipe the backside. And in this way, we can spend our life till we one fine day get diseased and pop dead. What a great plan. Retirement plan. That's not what Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada wanted us to do. He retired. Look at his retired life.
He got away from his house, took sannyas, went to Vrindavan, roamed all over the world. Even with two heart attacks, he moved around the world and preached. And he told his disciples, don't disturb me. I want to die like Arjuna died on the battlefield, serving Krishna. That's the time. He became more active after he was, after he finished his business. So the devotees want to serve the Lord with greater focus. That is really the time. And Krishna, he planned his disappearance also very wonderfully. In fact, his disappearance is so bewildering that people cannot understand. Nobody knows the truth about his disappearance. Only Naranarayana Rishi know the truth about his disappearance. It's mentioned. It's a bewildering episode. Because Krishna is lying down somewhere and then somebody shoots him on his toe thinking it's a bird. And then Krishna leaves the material body and goes away back. And then there is a body left for him. And people are wondering, if Krishna is God, why did he leave a body? But Krishna doesn't have a material body, a spiritual body, blah, blah, and sit and speculate and all those things. They get completely confused. Maybe Krishna is an ordinary human being. So it's mentioned that Krishna left a body to bewilder the atheistic people, like people who doubt him. People who believe in him, they don't have any doubts about where Krishna went. They don't have any doubts about what Krishna left. Krishna can do anything he wants. And he does so many things all the time to bewilder the persons in this material world who don't believe in him. See, when Krishna retired, he retired from his pastime in this world and went back to the spiritual world. And all his devotees, especially the Pandavas, they too retired. And it's mentioned the Pandavas, when they decided, yeah, let's go, it's time to go, they didn't even inform their wife. There's a shloka in the Bhagavad that says the Pandavas just left and Draupadi came to hear about it. She came to, this is the meaning of retirement. This is real retirement. She heard about the fact that her husband have left. And immediately she knew that, yeah, that's what they should do. I'm also going to retire. She didn't think, oh, you left without telling me. I lived for so many, I served you in the forest for 13, 14 years. I did all those things, you left without telling me. Nothing like that. She was equally advanced. She told, yeah, you guys should go. So, I am also going. Because we should go back to God. We should go to Krishna. And it's mentioned that immediately, she controlled herself immediately and got ready to go. She also went deeply into the forest, meditated on Krishna or something like that, don't know the details. The Pandavas left, she also left. This guy in Prabhupada says that this type of retirement, there's one little aspect about this retirement that nobody accompanies you. It's retirement. What we're trying to do otherwise in the material world, retiring is we will have our grandsons and we'll have our sons and daughters and the big great-great-grandsons and everybody around me and everything, and then I die feeling great attachment for them so that I can come back here again in the same family. But there Prabhupada is saying that Draupadi knew that in this journey she is alone. Husbands will not accompany. Sapatnika dharma macharet. Whenever there is a specific religious duty to perform, always the husband and wife are together to do it. But in this one occasion, husband goes without looking at the wife also. Right? And so Draupadi knew that the Pandavas' retirement, they are going back to Godhead. They go on their own. I go on my own too. And Draupadi is giving an example. He said, when a living entity dies, that journey he makes all alone. There's nobody accompanying him. Just like the pilot, the co-pilot, and all others who staff the aircraft, they're given a lot of training on the ground. They're told what to do, when to do, how to do, etc., etc. But when the flight becomes airborne, there's nobody to tell you what to do, what not to do. You're alone. You manage, you know which button to press, which handle to use, what to do, there is this thing. You are on your own. Prabhupada said that training can be given now, while we are living. At the time of death, tada, Let's see you fly on your own. So there's the Bengali saying, it says, Bhajan kara, sadhana kara, martya janilo hoy. Yeah, yeah, you do bhajan, you do your sadhana, let us see at the time of death how effective it is. although it's sounding good, but it, you know, pricks me very deep in my heart. My gosh, better chant carefully because we have to retire. Better be serious about what I do, because in that journey I'm alone. And all that I have done till now is what will actually help me. Bhajan kara, sadhan kara, martya janila hoy. When you're dying, let us see how it helps you. Right? So we all, Prabhupada said, all life is meant for learning how to die. All life is meant for learning how to die. Here it's like a euphemism to say retirement. Retirement means dying, getting ready for dying, getting ready for going back to God. Have you lived your life in such a way that you're ready to die, ready to retire? That's the moot question. Yudhishthira Maharaj knows he has done. Arjuna knows he has done so. They're ready. Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. We are happily going back to God. Whether each one of us will be able to do that in the same mood like Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing, that I will be able to go back to Godhead, thinking, fine, a life of service, my Lord, whatever I have done, offered to you at your lotus feet, good, bad, wrong, everything, I have nobody else, right? I'm completely dependent on you. And you think of the lotus feet of the Lord and you meet with death. It's an important occasion. It's an important occasion that we have to return back to Godhead having faith in Krishna, having faith in His words that there is a spiritual world and that's where we belong. So every time we have to remind ourselves of the temporary nature of this world, of the fact that we are on a small traveling trip. We don't belong here. We should live life like that. That helps us to be more detached. I'm going back home. It's just temporary. I'm going back home. Smara nitya anityatam. Chanakya Pandit said, always meditate on the temporary nature of your existence in this world. Smara nitya. Always you should meditate on the temporary nature of your existence here. Means, this is not your place. I have left some other place and come here. In that mood, if you continue living, doing your duties and doing your service, then at the time of death, you're very happy to go back. I'm going back home. Just like, you know, from the hospital, the college students, especially in the first year, they're very happy to go back home. After ragging and after all that mental torture and all the classes and everything, home sweet home, where is mama? When will I get all the food cooked by mama? And when will I go and see my father and my brother and my sister and everything? They feel so good going back home. Pack up and go back home and spend a long vacation. Something like that. I'm very familiar with the persons back home, with Krishna, with Yashoda Mai, with Nanda Maharaj, the Gopas, the Gopis, Vrindavan, cows, all of them, so familiar, just want to go back home. That's the place where I belong. If a person is thinking and dreaming and meditating on that, his death becomes very simple and easy. But if he's thinking, what will my daughter do? What will my sister do? Well, for sure, you're going to come back here. You're going to come back here. So, retirement for a devotee has interesting connotations, and a devotee should plan his retirement. You make a life plan his retirement rightly so that he can actually go back to God. And Srila Prabhupada has promised us, if you follow this, I'll take you back to God. And he was very sure about it, and you can see that he is from there. He's speaking about that place. And he's very happy about going back to the place. He wants everybody to go back there. Go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'll spend about a few minutes if you have any questions. Just don't stop me.
Hare Krishna. I have a question regarding this material body, what Krishna has left, what he has mentioned.
Yeah.
Because I have started from the little study what I have done. Like in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that, it is not mentioned that he has left his material body, but it is mentioned that he was sitting under the tree and that time Garuda came and he just left this planet. In the same way in the Ramayana also what I have read, it is written that Lord Rama has taken a dip in the Yeah, and the Garuda came and he just left away. So it is not mentioned about his material world. So can you please clarify?
Well, it mentioned that the Lord left a material body to bewilder the atheistic people. And of course, for the Lord, what is material, what is spiritual? Everything that is coming from the Lord is spiritual. Right? And in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that everything material and spiritual comes from me, I am the origin. Intelligent people understand that. He says that. And so the real meaning of it is Krishna can do anything. Everything is coming from Krishna. What we mean by matter, in my understanding, is Krishna explains in Bhagavatam, whatever you see which does not have a connection with me, in your vision, is Maya. It becomes matter. Whenever we see something disconnected with Krishna, it immediately becomes matter for us. Because we see it disconnected from Krishna. As soon as you see connection with Krishna, everything is spiritual. Because everything that comes from Krishna is spiritual. So, the atheistic people believe that Krishna is having a material body. He is not God. He is one of us. He is a hero. He is a special person. That's all. Okay, you want to think like that? I leave a body for you. Keep thinking like that. In that sense. But the body, obviously, for a person who knows Krishna, is spiritual. Just as we know, a devotee's body is also spiritual because it is utilized completely in Krishna's service. Yeah, so devotees have a higher dimensional understanding on that. When Krishna says that he is leaving a body, it is meant for those people who think like that. Devotees don't think like that. There's no problem about that. Because they know what Krishna is doing, why he is doing. Right? Yes?
On the same topic, I would like...
Because your mind is not working.
Yeah. Huh? On the same topic, I would like to ask you one more question for me. Like, if the Lord has not left the body, then it will be most bewilderment to the devotees, because Lord himself has said, one who has not has to die. His own laws he cannot break.
Yeah.
So he has to show a material body to satisfy his own laws. So if it doesn't leave the body...
That's one way of looking at it. Good, that's one way of looking at it. That's why I said it's bewildering. We're already speaking about it so much. It is bewildering. That's why Krishna left it. Yes.
Maharaj, a wonderful class. Is it only the swan story or is it part of the top story also, or is it as good as only the swan story?
I didn't get you fully.
Too difficult to believe that going back home is as simple as what Prabhupada is mentioning to all of us. So this is the swan story. Can we hear a little bit of a stop story also? How
is it? You hear it all along everywhere, newspapers, all over. Every day we hear it. The stop story. That's the nature of the conditioned soul. I mean, that's what's the meaning of liberation. Liberation is conviction. In the Acharya's words, conviction in Krishna's words. And freedom from attachment towards things in this temporary world. That is the challenge. And how much we believe in it, how much we can extricate ourselves from this, and how much we really value the spiritual realm, how much we really want it. To that extent, the problem of spiritual life is that we have to take the responsibility. That's the thing about it. We always want Krishna to take the responsibility, spiritual master to take the responsibility. Will there somebody else take the responsibility for me? But all these things we have to take responsibility for. Yes.
Can we call Mayavadis as also in atheistic group?
Pardon?
Can we also consider Mayavadis into atheistic group?
No, they are worse than atheists. Proper sentence. They are worse than atheistic people. Atheistic is better because most people are not really atheistic. They are agnostic. They don't know. Once they get to know, they stop being atheistic. Atheistics are idiots, fools. Most people have some intelligence between their ears, or some brain and great substance between their ears. And when they come to know, they understand, yes. Because every soul is naturally attracted to Krishna. So atheistic people are demoniac. But Mayavadi Sopas are the worst offenders than atheistic people. Because they don't just say that there is no God. They know there is God and they make him zero. They have gone beyond that. Yeah. The atheistic people, if you give them information of God, there's a good chance that they start believing God. That's our personal experience when we are preaching. Many people claim so many things. Some are demoniacs, they don't have to preach to them, but some claim, for want of any understanding and philosophy, they claim atheism. But when you reason out logically, scientifically with them, they start believing in God. They start believing in God.
When we face this kind of people, when when we face this kind of people, means how should we approach?
First, look after yourself. Are you able to face such a person? Are you going to get, you know, holes punched in your faith by talking to such a person? Turn away, walk off. There are so many other innocent people you can preach to. Right? Preserve your Krishna consciousness. Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoi sarvanash. Lord Chaitanya said, listen to the words of Mayavadi sarvanash. Only Lord Chaitanya can listen to Sarvabhu Bhattacharya for 8 days. 8 days he sat down and Sarvabhu Bhattacharya said, come here, take lessons from me. You were a very young sannyasi, you don't know what you're doing. Sit down, I teach you Vedanta Sutra. Lord Chaitanya sat down and gave him darshan for 8 days. He kept looking at Lord Chaitanya for 8 days. Little did he know what he had asked for. Who was teaching whom? And for 8 days he kept looking at Lord Chaitanya from morning to evening. Definitely you'll change. And Lord Chaitanya had a whole program. I am determined to change. I don't know what I should. He came and sat down with him. And he said, Vedanta Sutra, everything he spoke. And then finally he asked, sitting down here for so many days, not speaking anything, I'm speaking for 7 days to you. Why did you say something? He asked for it. Lord Chaitanya very mildly, sweetly said, I know Vedanta, but I don't understand what you say. By the time he already developed so much love for Lord Chaitanya, watching him morning to evening, what happened? He gave him very subtle association. So we can't do all that. We can't sit for 7 days in front of him and come out unscathed. We'll most probably be bundled up and put in his pocket. Don't try all that. Better safeguard your own spiritual life. It's not necessary to preach to the Mayavadis and all these tough guys. There are so many simple people. You preach to them. And when you feel fit and necessary to preach and spend your time to one of them, then if it's necessary, you do it. Otherwise, let other devotees handle it. That's my advice to you. And I hope that very soon you'll climb to the stage of speaking boldly to some of them.
I have this.
You're not feeling hungry? 10 o'clock?
I have this habit of seeing everything as from my material experience.
Then
I understand with the experience.
Well, join the gang. Me too.
So how to improve?
How to?
Improve
that. That's what Prabhupada has written all these books. Set up this society within this material world. With great pain, we are maintaining it. So many different types of attacks, and it's an austerity. You try to follow what he has said in his books, remain in the association of devotees, then you can get introduced to a different reality, get a peek into a different paradigm, and you can get attracted to it, ask for it, pray to Krishna for it. Whatever it may be, however difficult it may be, finally, by Krishna's mercy only you get out, not by your own effort. So have faith in Krishna's mercy. Not just simply looking at your own efforts, then it will be very, you know, negative. But put in your effort, plus rely on Krishna's mercy. A combination of both these things should give a positive effect. Right?
how can we practically apply today's class, and especially when we are young?
I speak is for you to apply. Just joking. Practically apply it, like the way I've also mentioned in the class. I said quite some practical things also, like the stoke, etc. Practically apply it means we have to chant Hare Krishna nicely, effectively. Pray from the depths of our heart to Krishna. Very nicely follow Prabhupada's instructions and read Prabhupada's books. If we do these things nicely, we will create within ourselves that conviction. There's nothing great in this world to go by, and that Krishna is inviting us, and that's where we belong. Definitely we'll do that. That's Prabhupada's prescription to us, and it will work. Prabhupada is such a spiritual doctor that he doesn't give a prescription and a recommendation that doesn't work. Surely it will work. So have faith, the Prabhupada will take you back to God. He said, even if you practice 90%, you'll go back. In fact, it's 80%. In one Bhagavatam class, he said, he put a chadar over his head and he said, even 75%, you'll go back. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, and Prabhupada is super merciful, and he wants everybody back, go back to God and not suffer here. So by holding on to the lotus feet of pure devotees of the Lord, we have some scope. That's a practical application. Hope springs eternal in the human breast.
Jagannath Baladesh Subhadramai Ki.
Yeah. I'm also feeling hungry, by the way. Yes. Doesn't matter. I can hear
you. Well, it's bewildering sometimes. The way the advanced devotee is leaving the body is very painful way. The latest is Gajendra Prabhu and Namal Krishna Maharaj in accident. Then, what we see in middle angle, the peaceful death means maybe something like a heart attack or something like that, just leave and then some devotees around you, and then that's the way we escape. But these devotees all alone, just imagine for a moment this Gajendra Prabhu was just in a room, locked up, fire, and you must have tried to escape this, and how much of pain and agony should have gone through. Is it necessary for the devotees to have go through the pain before leaving the body, or they should look for the peaceful death? This is my question. Or the Krishna could be more merciful in that case?
Well, whatever has happened has definitely happened by Krishna's plan. That's the first thing you should understand. It's not an accident. A devotee's life doesn't have an accident. That's first. In a material world, you can have an accident. In a devotee's life, there is no accident. What do we imply by saying an accident? We say what is not supposed to happen, happened. It was not planned to happen that way. It's just, So I don't think when devotees of the Lord pass away, it is a seeming accident. It's not an accident. No devotee who chanted Hare Krishna all the time, worshipped Krishna, served Krishna, who just casually passed away is an accident. No. That's the first thing you should understand. It's the plan of the Lord. And he may have been happy while passing away also. How do you know? Instantly passed away. Death is very painful. And we always pray sometimes, oh, I hope I die and go off. Not that in a painful, long, drawn death, and you call that peaceful. If somebody is dying, suffering and then dying for a long time just because he gets to see his relatives, and you call that peaceful death. It's peaceful from your side because you want to see him peacefully dying. But from inside, he's not peacefully dying. He's in P-I-E-C-E, actually dying. Peace by peace dying. Peacefully dying. So, I think that I have not thought about this topic much since you're asking me all of a sudden. I think it's the plan of the Lord. Krishna has a plan. And for a devotee, nothing is going to happen which is out of the plan of Krishna. That's the first thing. That's, from that you can derive an understanding. It seems to the outside world that it's bad, accident, this, that. Krishna has his own plan. And for all you know, the devotee did not suffer at all. And that's what I think. He didn't suffer. He must have Krishna, fresh, up, gone. As much as good death. Very good, swift. Yes.
How can we increase our faith in Krishna and spiritual life?
That's what the whole session is about.
So you told we should have faith, but how to...
The association of devotees, by reading Prabhupada's books, chanting Hare Krishna nicely. That's where we can increase our faith, especially association of devotees increases your faith. Right? And when you say how to increase your faith, you should also see simultaneously what destroys your faith. From there you get a hint. What destroys your faith?
If I'm trying to preach or if some of my parents are arguing with me, it shakes my faith.
It swells with it. Don't preach now because you...
I'm not preaching.
You go along with somebody and preach.
Yeah.
It will increase your faith.
Even if I'm not preaching, some of my parents are just... It's
because you're in the association of those type of people,
yeah.
That decreases your faith. Right? So you take the association of people who are conducive to Krishna consciousness. Your faith will increase. You are surrounded by people who don't have faith in Krishna consciousness, they're shooting you. Naturally, they punch holes into your faith. So association matters. Keep away from them. Not too much of association. And keep more of your association with devotees. There's so many devotees. Do yani kani chapapani around the devotees. Always stick to devotees.
Even Yudhishthira Maharaj had to have a glimpse of
hell
before going to hell. Where is their hope for us? An exalted devotee like him?
The great hope, because he only had a glimpse of hell.
What is the
point there you should understand is Krishna gave him only a glimpse. Because he was Dharmaraj. Came only a glimpse. In other words, worse things could have happened to him, but Krishna gave him only a glimpse.
Next part is, what hope is there for us? Because we are such sinful people, you know. So.
Become sinless? That you should do. You should become sinless and then practice Krishna consciousness. That much you can do. Don't keep on saying, what hope is there, and then holding on to all these things that you have. Then I will say, hopeless, if you continue to hold on. Certain things we should take responsibility for, to the best extent we should do it, then ask for mercy. Don't do your job and ask for mercy, then Krishna will tell you, do it first.
They were in the middle, your
direction.
Are they practicing Krishna consciousness or they went to forest?
They went back to Gaurang. Went back to Krishna.
Right. How?
How? You want me to show the route? Yes.
They were there.
Yeah. Yeah, they went back to Gaurang. You see, you will see the Mahabharata chapter called Swargarohanam. That's another bewildering thing for many people. After serving, they went only Swarga. No. Actually, the Pandavas were Amsha. They were Amshas of Indra, Amshas of Vayu, like that. Those Amshas went back to Swarga. But the actual Pandavas means who are servants of Krishna. They went back to Gaurang. They had no other desire in the material world. They didn't have to go to the forest. They didn't have to do all that. They just went back to Krishna. That's all. How they went back, there is no vivid picture of description about, you know, a spaceship that came and took them and all that. I don't know, there may be somewhere, not to my knowledge. Yeah, that I don't know. All I know is that they went back to Goddess. Mostly people, when they go back to Goddess, they go in style. As much as I can assure you, you won't get a rickety old jalopy. Come on. You get, you know, you read Ajamila going back to Godhead. Ajamila going back to Godhead. Well, then why the Pandavas will not go back inside?
No, I want my question is how.
Yeah, like this. You read in Bhagavatam, Ajamila went back to Godhead. A big spaceship came for him from Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha Vasis in it, and he climbed aboard and they took. Same way, Dhruva Maharaj also. That's the description. So why not the Pandavas? Maybe those things are not detailed described, but we can assume that definitely they went in style.
It was not mentioned, that's why.
Yeah. Well, it's not mentioned and I don't know. But I'm sure they went.
Thank you. Well, you mentioned the reality journey after death is one of the most, like, he has to travel alone. But we also hear from others that Prasyan Guru, Prasyan Guru, Prasyan Guru,
of course, for a devotee, his track is smooth. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita. He says that, what is it? Mrityu samsara vartmani. What is the shloka? Tesham aham samuddhartha. Mrityu samsara sagarat. Bhavamina chirat patta. Maya veshita chetasam. Bhavamina chirat patta. You won't go through the regular route. Krishna will personally take you through another route. What more you want? Jai Srila Prabhupada. No, I'm happy. Just other people are hungry. For me, this is food.
One of the important aspects of Krishna consciousness is to fight against Maya.
Is the mic?
Where's the mic?
One of the important aspects of progressing in Krishna consciousness is to fight against Maya. And fighting against Maya comes from inner fulfillment. Satisfaction of the heart. One day you will actually have a desire to fight again, continue on the same path. Otherwise you will plan to settle in a particular level saying, I can't progress beyond this. That's what I have heard from many devotees. How does one get this inner fulfillment?
You repeat your question.
When the desire to fight against Maya, that means naturally we tend to do things selectively. I mean, naturally we are used to go against the, or go with the flow. I mean, continue to, naturally we try to do simple activities. But Krishna says one should actually go against the flow, meaning you have to control your senses, things like that. So this senior devotee says that this comes from inner fulfillment of the heart. When the heart is fulfilled by whatever you are doing, then you will have the desire to fight against Maya and then continue in the path. So how does one get this inner fulfillment from that?
You're right in saying that we should develop a ruchi taste for devotional service, for chanting of the holy name, for reading Bhagavad, for the association of devotees. Till then, you're skating on thin ice. That is sadhana. During sadhana time, you have not yet developed so much ruchi. Unless you cross a certain stage in sadhana, you have not developed so much ruchi taste. Once a devotee likes chanting, enjoys chanting, likes to do kirtan, bhajan, likes to read Bhagavatam and discuss it, then he is on safe ground. Then his heart gets transformed. Shanavatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Kriyam Tattu Vyabhadran. From the heart, these things get removed. We are originally having a taste for all these things. It is not something new and foreign and alien to you that you need to grow inside you. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Siddhe Koreye Udaya. If you attentively hear and focus on that,
then it will udaya, means it will rise from within the heart. It's not external to you. That can give you a lot of confidence that I need to, you know, fan the flame. And for that, you should hear carefully. You have to focus. There are certain things which you definitely need to do, without which certain things are not going to happen. Bhagavatam says, Shushushubhi Takshana. That by doing Shushushya Seva and hearing, Takshana, that moment, Tak, you get enlightened. So it is true that it's Krishna who is actually going to give you that realization from within the heart, seeing that you are sincere, seeing that you want it, seeing that you are endeavoring for it. Tatra mulyam laulyam, a greed for that you have. All these things if you have, you become a candidate for it. And these are all normally things that we employ for any material thing also. You get fired up, you work hard, you organize, you think about it, you focus on it, you dream about it, you get obsessed with it, you speak it, you breathe it, you do all that, and then you do and it's successful. Same thing you do for Krishna consciousness. Do you develop a taste for chanting and reading Bhagavad? That's the test. And if you put in that much of time, that much of attention, energy, and all that inside, it will give you that result. Why it will not give you the result? When so many mundane things that you put the time and energy into give you result, why not? By indulging in Krishna consciousness, it won't give you the result. There is no instance of anybody not getting the result. So the Bhagavatam says, Tivrena bhakti yogena yajete purusham param. Tivra bhakti. In mundane language, Tivravadi means a terrorist. In Kannada also. In Kerala, Tivravadi means a terrorist. This is like a terrorist practice. You know, why did you do that? Look at all the LTT, that guy, this guy, and all that. Tivrena. They are, you know, so focused on doing it. They need to give their life, become a suicide bomber. I saw a video somewhere of a lady explaining how suicide bombers are trained by Pakistani people. And they've got a place for that. And young boys are taken, 15, 16 year olds, and they're made to chant the Quran the whole day. And they are not fed properly. Their mind is tamed. And they're repeatedly told, you should do this for Allah. He will bless you. And when you die, you will go back to God. They are told this, and they believe it. And they're ready to do it. I'm doing this. I'm going to give up my life. I tie a bomb around my stomach. I go and bang. And I'll go back to God. They believe it. They do. You can train people for these things. What can you train people for? Having faith in the holy name of the Lord and Bhagavatam, eating good prasadam. That's what you want. Vishwaso naiva jayate. It's not every day. Prasada. You have lots of faith in. Right? Why can't we? We can. It's the mind that's troubling you and not allowing you to have faith. And that's a small thing. If you just neglect the mind, it is possible. It's possible. Bahavo jnana tapaso putam madbhavam agataha. Krishna is saying, in the past many people achieved this. You also do that, Arjuna. He says that. It's possible to do it. And you will be able to do it. There are lots of people doing it. Don't become mental about it. That's all. Hare Krishna.
Oh, hey, Krishna.
We have to honor a lady's request. Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
We are saying in this material world, we say that any job, any task we do, which does not involve Krishna, we feel we get the pain, we struggle. But once we involve Krishna, we are not attached to the material world. I'd like to know like how we can involve Krishna in our day-to-day activities.
You sure you want to take a trip? Because you become detached from all the others. I'm joking. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manismara yudhya cha mayyarpita mano buddhir. He's saying, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manismara yudhya cha. Telling Arjuna, think of me and fight. To many people it's difficult to understand that. How can I think of Krishna and, you know, shoot arrows and yell at people passionately in Rajogun, Kshatriya. You dog, you jackal, I'll send you now to Yamaloka. Take this. Fuck. Where will I think of Krishna then? This is what they talk, you know, in the battlefield. Arjuna talks this and Duryodhana says that, and I'll kill you, you rascal, you that, you this, you know. And Arjuna said all these things and Krishna was standing next to him. Right? Sometimes we wonder how it was possible to do that. But then, it is possible to do that. You can connect yourself in terms of consciousness, which is much more deeper than just thinking alone. You are doing it for Krishna. And while I'm doing it for Krishna, I need to yell these obscenities at the opposite party. And I will do that. And Krishna is not going to say, hey, don't speak bad words back. Enchant the mood, meditate on me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's not the way you're going to fight. It's not going to fight like that. It doesn't work like that. Isn't it? So sometimes you see devotees being very passionate. Rabi Yatra, move, come on, do it, sadhu. You wonder, this is not the way a sadhu should behave. Stand in front of Arjuna, then you'll know how a sadhu should behave. Right? So we get confused. We think that saintliness, Krishna consciousness means a certain type of external behavior. No, it means a certain type of consciousness. It means Krishna conscience. For Krishna, I'll set fire to the whole of Lanka. For Krishna, I'll do this. For Krishna, I'll do anything. That is the real meaning. So if you have that feeling inside, I'm doing it for Krishna, I'll do anything necessary to achieve it for Krishna, then you are in full consciousness of Krishna. In the same way, if you do your work, whatever you're doing, I'm doing for Krishna, and you're fully convinced about that, you will do that very good. Better than all the materialists can do it. And you'll offer it to Krishna. That's how the world is supposed to be. That's how Yudhishthira is and was. He offered everything to Krishna. And the Rajasuya Yajna, after he did the Rajasuya Yajna, he offered the entire thing to Krishna, to Vedavyas, to everybody. He offered his whole kingdom. Then Vedavyas told him, what am I going to do with this? You are fit to do this service. You know how to do this. I give it back to you. Rule. Lead the citizens to Krishna consciousness. He was not at all attached. He said, yeah, I'm going to go back to Godhead. Because he was always thinking of Krishna. So we get to perfection in our consciousness of thinking of Krishna. Then we can be put anywhere and we can serve Krishna without attachment. So we have to develop that. That is Krishna consciousness. I thought it was over.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for the wonderful inspiring class. I just wanted to share something about this great Rahindra Prabhu.
Please do.
Because Prabhu asked the question, because I met Rahindra Prabhu just 4 days before he had passed away from this world. Very inspiring to be with him, and he gave us time, he gave us a lot of instructions how we should not just chant the holy name, but we have to just cry to the holy name to engage us in their service. When we cry and beg to them, then they will be merciful to take us home back to Godhead. And there was another couple who were next to him, and he was preaching to them how at any moment of our life we may leave our body. We do not know what time we may leave our body, what the circumstance may be. But we should always have the holy name on our tongue and always chant to Krishna. So even after coming back from there, when I heard this news, I was really shocked. But I knew that he was so convinced about the chanting of the holy name. And I'm sure how he paid obeisances to his deities and passed away shows his conviction that how we should always keep the holy name in our heart and in our tongue. And that's how we can also achieve going back to the Lord in that same way.
Yes, no doubt. Thank you very much.
So, we do not know how the Pandavas went back to Godhead, or the situation we do not know as how they remember Krishna, or whatever the instruction that Krishna says that Antakale Mam, you have to remember him at the time of death. But he was a real living example to see. be a devotee, how he has left his body, remembering and chanting his holy name.
Yeah. Aitra Prabhu ki.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Master.
It's a very good, you know, addition to today's class. Thank you. Right. Hare Krishna, I'm around. You can have your mouth full and your stomach full and around. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. 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 Jai.